Let's look at some passages of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 1. The Bible says, verse 18, Isaiah 1, verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Verse 21, "How has the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it. But now, murderers." Isaiah 59, as you would study through this prophet's message, you'll find out that the sin, the transgression of the nation had separated them from God. Isaiah 59, verse 2, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." I don't have to be on the throne of God to understand what's going on today in the world. The protesting, the rioting, and the things that are happening are not of God. They are from Satan. They are from sinful men. And they are causing great division. And they will indeed separate us from our God. And he will not hear, because as Isaiah said, the prophet, "The mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." These principles are still true today. Nothing's new under the sun. And so today, I don't want you to be weary. I want you to understand that what's happening today is exactly what's always happened when sinful men become prevalent. The climactic moment in history is when Jesus is crucified. Can I show you some more confusion and chaos surrounding the crucifixion of Christ? Look at the book of Luke for just a moment. Luke chapter 23, this is the trial. Jesus is accused before Pontius Pilate. First, in verses 1 and following, they lead him to Pontius Pilate, a Roman official, a governor, a ruler over the Judean region. But under him, politically speaking, there were these other governors or tetrarchs like Herod. You remember King Herod the Great or the Terrible was the king over this area during the time of the birth of Jesus Christ. Well, he has died by now, but his son Herod Antipas is in the place under the authority of Pontius Pilate, but in the region of Galilee, over that area where Jesus was from. And so here in the first part of Luke 23, Pontius Pilate will ask Jesus a question, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And in this context, in verse 3, Jesus will answer him and say, "Thou sayest it." And that's the only reply you get. And of course, Pontius Pilate says, "I find no fault in him of all the accusations." And he sends Jesus to Herod Antipas, the guy below Pontius Pilate, and says, "Here, you go to that jurisdiction. Perhaps Herod Antipas can solve this problem, because it seems to be a local problem." Well, when he gets to Herod Antipas in verse 7, it says, "Herod was excited to see him." He was glad in verse 8. "Exceeding glad" in the King James Version, "for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him." Then he questioned him. But what's interesting about this government official, now this is the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of the world, before a government official, and he answers this government official not one single word. He will not say a word to this government official. And as a result, he will be sent back to Pontius Pilate. This was the way the legal system worked during the Roman days in Jerusalem. But watch this passage in verse 12 of Luke 23. It's interesting to see the political division and sometimes political expediency at work here. And the climate, I want you to see the climate of what was going on in this day and age. And think about the day and age we live in and the political climate that we deal with. And again, realize that nothing new under the sun is happening. In verse 12, the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. But you see, now there's a political expediency. They need to be one together because of this Jesus. You see, the politics at work here, see the climate of the Jews behind him, pushing both of these officials, pushing both of these government officials to do something wicked and terrible, to murder and to crucify the Son of God for the sins of the world. And these two individuals likely lost their life in eternity because they would never humble themselves and repent. Oh, they had political pride and power. But now I want to show you another context just for a moment. I don't get enough time to preach here. But look, this coronavirus, bless its heart. I wish it would just go away. But the Lord Jesus Christ will save. I'm not worried about that virus. I'm worried about saving your soul and mine. Always have been. Look at chapter 13 for a moment of Luke's account. Luke 13. This is a great context. And this Herod Antipas, he comes up in this context here again. But you remember the first part of chapter 13, these disciples come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, you know, the Galileans has had their blood mingled with Pilate and their sacrifices, and there's this hypocrisy going on. Pontius Pilate here, of course, is introduced. And Jesus says to them, suppose you that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things, they allowed such things. Well, I tell you nay, and this is the message. Jesus points his fingers right back at these individuals talking to him, and he said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The message of the cross is to everyone. You quit worrying about the whole world. You quit worrying about all this information going on out here. And you make sure that you are focused on the cross and you are focused on repenting of your sins. He'll repeat himself in verse 5 by another example when he talks about the Tower of Siloam falling and those people dying and perishing. He says, you think they were sinners above all men because they perished in Jerusalem? Again, he says, while you're thinking... You ever heard the statement, too much stinking thinking? You ever heard that? Well, that means a lot to me right now. You ever heard this other one, TMI? Too much information. Blessed is the man that walketh in the counsel of the godly, not the ungodly, Psalm 1:1 and following. There's too much counsel going on today. What counsel are you listening to? Listen to the counsel of the godly. Listen to the counsel of God. Because God says here, I tell you nay again, except you shall repent, you shall all likewise perish. But now I want you to see this. In this context, he's preaching and teaching in the synagogues, verses 10 and 11. And he's stirring up a lot of attention. He heals a woman on the Sabbath day. This ruler of the synagogue, again, another official here in verse 14, answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. He had done good. There are 6 days, he says to Jesus in verse 14, in which the people can gallivant and do good and heal. And Jesus, you choose to heal on the Sabbath day? You're breaking the rules, Jesus. You're breaking the rules, Jesus. The Lord answered him, thou hypocrite, in verse 15, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away for watering? Do you not lift a finger and do work on Sunday or Saturday from time to time because you have to? And Jesus says, you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. Now watch the controversy. Watch what he's stirring. You talk about the most controversial person to ever grace the planet. It's Jesus the Christ. It's not Brian Braswell. It's not Donald Trump. It's Jesus Christ that created more controversy than any other human being, and yet he was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. He was the creator of the world, and he did not come down here to say, I'm going to give you a bed of roses. He came down here to set you free from your sins. And we've got problems today, don't we? Boy, we don't know anything about problems. Watch this. Now, I love you. I hope you know that. But I'm fired up. This world is going crazy, but not my Lord and Savior. He is always truth. He is always right. And we must always follow him and remember what he says. Always. Now watch what happens here. Called him a Pharisee. He does some more teaching and preaching there in verses 18 and following about the grain of the mustard seed and how powerful it is. He goes through the villages again, verse 22, and he's teaching. He's journeying toward Jerusalem in verse 22. And there said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them and gives them an answer right there in verse 24 and following. There's a narrow gate or a straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter into it, but shall not be able to go. Why? Why will there only be few people that go in? I would suggest unto you, you need to study your Bible to answer that question. Read the text here. But then drop down to verse 31. You talk about controversy. The same day there came Jesus, or a Pharisee, a certain Pharisee, saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod, and here's this Herod Antipas, the one he would not answer a word to over here in Luke 23, didn't say a word to him. This Pharisee says to Jesus, Herod will kill thee. That same guy over there that was exceeding glad to see him and was excited and wanted to see a miracle. And Jesus knew all things. And he answered not that government official a word. Look at what Jesus says. Go ye and tell that fox. You know what the word there means, fox? You know what he's saying about this government official? You go back and you tell that sly, crafty, shrewd, and cruel leader over God's innocent people. And here's what he says. Behold, I cast out demons. I do cures today and tomorrow. And the third day, I shall be perfected. He's talking about going to the cross, isn't he? I'll stop there, but I want you to continue reading your Bible and focusing upon what Jesus says, focusing upon what the prophets have said, focusing upon what your God has said from the foundations of the world. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will follow me. You will pick up your plow, and you will plow a straight line. And you will walk a straight and narrow way. And you will follow me. And you will have, in some sense, tunnel vision, because you're not going to allow the counsel of the ungodly to distract you. Turn off your phones. Turn off your news. Quit worrying about what the world's saying. Everybody today's become a historian, haven't they? I heard some conquistadorian statue in Albuquerque's now been torn down. What's next? Everybody's a historian today in their own right. Oh yeah, there's a problem. But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. Has that message changed today? Sure hasn't. George Floyd was choked out and he couldn't breathe. You remember that? Seems to have what started a lot of this. But you remember the one on the cross that was suffering from asphyxiation and couldn't breathe either? Because he was nailed to a cross for your sins and my sins and the sins of the world. He couldn't breathe. George Floyd going to save all these protesters' sins? He die for their sins? He go to the cross for their sins? But boy, howdy, they're protesting all over the world, aren't they? When's the last time anybody protested for Jesus? The one who can and will save your sins from your sins. Who couldn't breathe. Didn't deserve to be on that cross. But the world's always been this way, brethren. But you and I need to reach out and preach the gospel, don't we? And try to tell somebody this very lesson. We need to tell them. Yeah, Jesus couldn't breathe either. And he can save your soul. So we must stay focused and preach the gospel in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation that will never change. No matter what the world is screaming and hollering and saying and government officials are saying, I have a Lord and Savior in heaven who's saying the same thing he's been saying since the foundations of the earth. Who will you listen to? I pray you'll listen to Jesus. Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you repented of your sins? Have you confessed the name of Jesus before men publicly? Have you been immersed, washed in the waters of baptism for the remission of those sins? Arising to walk in a newness of life, a new focused life, that no matter what Satan may hurl at you, you now have Jesus who will lead you and guide you till your days are over. And you can know that you are saved. If you need to respond to the invitation of the Lord, Chad's been singing some wonderful songs tonight. Brother, those are some good songs tonight. And it is so much of a blessing to be able to be together. Don't take this for granted ever, that we have the opportunity to worship our God. If you need the prayers of the congregation to repent of your sins for anything that you've done, would you please let us know as together we stand and we sing, would you come?